told that he is to be the one to rescue the people of Israel from the Midianites who were occupying their land. And having assured himself that the message does indeed come from God, Gideon is then instructed on the first steps to take. He's to pull down the images and the altars, which are the symbols of the people's apostasy. And in so doing, to call the people back to faithfulness to God. Let's notice that this was a real challenge to Gideon. He knew the reaction there would be in the village. And so he set about fulfilling his task by night. And uproar there was the following morning. Everybody incensed that these altars had been torn down. Baying for blood, baying for Gideon's blood. But eventually, once the people realized the significance of what Gideon had done, once they recognized the error of their ways, it appears they were again ready to commit themselves to God. Gideon learned a worthwhile lesson that day about how, even when a problem seems overwhelming, doing only what we are able to do can have some astonishing results. Philip learned that same lesson one day in Galilee, when he was with Jesus and the other disciples out in the country. They had withdrawn for some peace and quiet away from the crowds, but the people followed them. And as it was getting late, Jesus asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" Philip looked at the crowds. We are told there were 5,000 men, which means, on top of that, there were women and children. Philip looked at the crowds and thought, "There's no way." He was simply overwhelmed. At a quick calculation, he reckoned that even if they were near enough a village to buy food, it would take half of a working man's yearly wage to buy enough bread to feed the numbers involved. Philip saw it as an enormous and impossible task. Andrew, on the other hand, started to do what he could. Out he went through the crowd, asking if any of them had brought any food, making them aware of the need to share anything they had. And while he's doing this, a small boy comes up and says, "Here, mister, I've got more than enough for me." Can't you see Andrew putting his arm around the boy and leading him to Jesus? There's no doubt Andrew was just as aware of the enormity of the predicament as was Philip. But Andrew did something about it, did what he could. And don't let's forget the wee boy. He offered what little he had and was as amazed as anyone else at how far his contribution went. Philip, Andrew, and a small boy, each reacting to the same set of circumstances in ways which are still very evident in the response of men and women today. And we're going to look at two particular fronts. First, there's the issue of poverty and hunger. It's a problem of such vast proportions that we are often, like Philip, quite overwhelmed at how much needs to be done. Millions of pounds need to be spent to bring immediate help to the victims of drought, flood, disease, and famine. Billions of pounds need to be spent on development aid if these people are to have any long-term sustainable future. It can seem an impossible task. Unless, of course, you're an Andrew and ready to go round the doors with your collecting can, making people aware of the problem and of the need to share what they have. An Andrew, ready to organise a collection of clothes and blankets and medicines and foodstuffs to be shipped out to those in greater need. Now, when you're an Andrew, you need to be ready for those who will turn their backs and ignore you, or even give you a lecture about how everyone should look after themselves anyway, and it's all the fault of the politicians. But you will also come across hundreds of small boys ready to offer what little they have. And it is the small boys who never cease to be amazed at the difference their contribution makes to the needs of others. Small drop in the bucket, it may seem, but every drop counts. Now, the same principle applies, friends, when we direct our attention to the issue of the vast numbers of people in our own society in this 21st century who are spiritually malnourished. People who are second and third generation non-Christians. What are we, the church, doing about it? Are we doing a Philip and so overwhelmed by how much needs to be done, totally awestruck by the personal cost involved in meeting that need? Are we doing a Philip and doing nothing? You know, that's a natural reaction if we think in thousands. Perhaps we should start thinking on a smaller scale and learn from Andrew's example, encouraging one another to be aware of the need. Aware of the need to be God's messengers of his gospel. Well, I know we're not all Andrews, able to take the rebuffs and the reactions of the indifferent. But we most certainly all have the potential to be the small boys. The ones who will offer what we have in the service of Christ. Talking about our faith with our families and our friends. Ready to join in the discussion at the office, on the golf course, or at the gym. Or when we're just having coffee. Living lives which bear witness to the faith we proclaim. Friends, the advancement of Christ's kingdom in this world needs more people of God to grasp the message of the power of one. May all glory be to the Father and to the Son and to his Holy Spirit. Amen.